into a brand new week of Trail Talk SA, and what a week it has been, eh? Talking about last weekend, the Sky Run up in Lesotho, and what a crazy, crazy race. We're chatting all about it on this week's episode of Trail Talk SA. We are into episode 16, and before we get into who is who on the show today, I mentioned last week that one of the ways we get word out on these podcasts is by using the iTunes store. And obviously, the more reviews and ratings we get on the iTunes platform, the better it is for the show. And I want to thank Philip Gibb for leaving a 5-star rating as well as a review saying local is lacquer. Love to hear from local heroes and local events. Trail running rocks. This podcast is awesome. Must be a lot of work. Philip, it is a lot of work, but it's good fun putting it together. And I'm really, really glad that you enjoy it. If you do listen on the iTunes platform, please do exactly what Philip did and leave us a rating and a review. It just helps us grow this podcast and it allows more people to discover it. Coming up on this week's show, chatting all about last week's very eventful Skyrun, and I caught up with one of the event organizers, Adrian Safi, to find out exactly what happened on the mountain and what led to the race being called off. The weather conditions, by all accounts, were horrific. I think they ended up making a wise call, did the guys from Skyrun. Also caught up with Andrew Mackay, who was running, was out on course when the race was called off. Got his perspective, and then also touch base with Natalie Romeo, who finished fourth in the ladies' race when the race was called off, and chatted to her a little bit about her experience as well. So, yeah, that's all coming up on this week's show. As always, if you want to tweet us, you can at Trail Talk SA. You can also podcast at trailtalksa.co.za. Or if you'd like, you can Facebook us. Just look us up, Trail Talk SA on Facebook. It's as easy as that to be in touch. Let's get straight into this week's show. Well, I've been following it on the social media networks over the last few days, and by all accounts, the Sky Run was hectic this year, and I thought I'd catch up with one of the organizers, Adrian Safi from Pure Adventures. Adrian, thanks for taking the time to chat to us. A bit of a crazy race this year.
Yeah, Brad, it was definitely. We knew we were in for a bit of weather. We warned the athletes prior to that that, you know, the weather reports were predicting rain, and with that comes the cloud and the poor visibility. But we also had reports that the weather would be clearing up, and actually on the day it looked like it was starting to clear up, but then all hell broke loose, and then, you know, the universe just gave us a clap from the side of the face, and we were pummeled with 100 kilometer an hour winds with ice rain that was where there was hitting us at 90 degree angles. It felt like you've been shot with like 1,000 little BBs out of BB guns, and there was just nowhere to hide. And it created quite a serious situation on the mountain. And that for the first time in the history that I've been running this event, we had to call the event just for the safety of athletes. And you know, when we made that call, that's when the logistical nightmare started happening, because we had to get guys off the mountains. We got a couple of contingency plans on the route, because it is such a remote area where we can get guys down to basic farmhouses at the bottom and shelter. But you know, these emergency routes are also like a 4 or 5 hour hike in some instances. So, you know, I think it was every race organizer's nightmare, but also we passed it with flying colors, and every single person got off that mountain safely, and we were blessed. I think we were all blessed, and it was a little bit of a miracle that there was no serious injuries out there.
Yeah, Adrian, I mean, you talk about having the contingency plans in place, and it's like it's always a worst-case scenario when you are putting an event on like this. And you know what, the elements, it's one of those things you can't really predict it or you can't change it. And it must have been really difficult to make that call to say, you know what, it's just not safe, we need to call this thing off.
You know what, Brad, we are hosting one of the world's toughest mountain runs. It is recognized as a really extreme event. You know, the route is unmarked. It's over 100 kilometers. We're at high altitude. We're very, very remote. So, you know, this is the bull that this event has. So it's not just a question of the night before it's going to rain a little bit, let's call the race. Because athletes come there prepared for severe conditions. So we, at race briefing, you know, we told the guys, we said, listen, this is the situation out there, and that we would make the call on the mountain because conditions could have got better, but unfortunately this year they got worse. And, you know, just from all the years of experience of being in those mountains and seeing the athletes that were around me and seeing their condition, I radioed to my partner, Mike, and through our marshals and said, listen, the situation is now becoming life-threatening. We have to call it. And then, you know, we made the call and we stopped all the athletes as they came through to the next checkpoints and just got them down to safety. But saying that, almost 90% of the guys did get through to the 65K mark on their own account. And you know, if it wasn't for the athletes being prepared, number one, and being geared for these extremities, we would have had big problems. Because then we only had to take care of a handful of athletes that were really in trouble. The majority of the athletes took care of themselves, and for that we're truly grateful. And it just shows you the caliber of the guys that enter our events. It's great for us. And you know, you only see that in cases of emergency normally. And you know that this was a blessing for us as well, that the guys were prepared and they didn't panic and they looked after themselves and got themselves to safety.
Yeah, I mean, it must be a hell of a difficult call to make, and you're so right as well. I mean, it is an extreme event, and the guys do come prepared. I mean, from the athlete's point of view, I mean, there was obviously a disappointment, but overall, I think, I mean, what I've seen, the guys really understood that it was a call that needed to be made. I mean, the last thing you want to do is to keep them out there that long, then someone dies, and then it's too late. And I think you guys did a really good thing this weekend.
Yeah, Brad, you know what? Guys that take part in events like that, they've got this never-say-die attitude. And unless we called that in race, they would have carried on until it was too late, because that's just the nature of the being. That's just what they've got in them. You know, one of the top trail runners in South Africa at the moment, AJ Collins, he knew that he couldn't carry on. But because he didn't want to have it, did not finish behind his name, he put on his shoes and he was about to go out when we called the race. And he was thankful. He knew he was in trouble, but that competitive nature, that driving force that drives athletes that take part in these extreme events, it doesn't allow them, they don't allow themselves to show weakness, to feel pain. So for us as race organizers, we had to call it, because those guys would have carried on until they dropped. That's just their character. And I think at the end of the day, everyone was actually relieved that we called it, that we actually took that decision out of their hands. And I think we made the right call. It was a difficult call to make, but in the circumstances, it was actually a very easy call to make.
Absolutely. Adrian, for people who might be listening to this that don't know too much about the Sky Run here in South Africa, tell us a little bit about the race. How long has it been going? And if people are interested in maybe looking at next year's race, what can they expect?
Yeah, it's a 100-kilometer race that we start off in Lady Grey. It's a high altitude mountain run. The route is unmarked, so you've got to navigate. You are allowed to use GPS units. You have to pass through 9 checkpoints on the route. You have to be self-sufficient. So it's a really extreme event. We do have a shorter version, the 65K. We jokingly call it the Sky Run Light because it's by no means a light event. It's really extreme in its own right. And then we've got the full Sky Run, which is 100K. We've got almost 5,000 meters of positive altitude gain. So it is really a true test of character, test of courage. We do screen athletes wanting to do the full event before the time. They have to have some form of experience. And I think that our screening process also ensure that this weekend went off without any serious injuries or fatalities. So it is out there. You can find all the information on our website at www.pureadventures.co.za. And there's a gallery up there. There's a ton of videos on Vimeo and YouTube about the event. So anyone that's interested can go and do their homework, have a look at that, and then we would love to see you guys. But you must know that this is a tough one. So come prepared, and most importantly, don't be skimpy on the safety gear. You know, trail runners want to carry as light as possible, but in conditions this weekend, I think this was a lesson to everyone that does that takes part in our sport. That safety comes first. The roller carry that the little extra bit of weight, but know that you're going to be able to survive should conditions turn as bad as they did this weekend.
Yeah, Adrian, I think that's probably the biggest lesson that needs to come out of this thing, and it's not just for your event, it's for all trail running events. There are some really, really tough and extreme ones here in South Africa and around the world, and I think that is vital, that you're so right. People try and go as light as possible and get away with not carrying stuff, but you really need to have that worst-case scenario in the back of your head and be prepared for all eventualities.
Definitely, Brad. You know, the bottom line is you have to respect life. And I think by taking things for granted, you're actually doing yourself an injustice. So rather be prepared for the worst. We are doing an extreme sport. Carry the gear. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's your life that you're safeguarding. And it is as serious as that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you're talking about life. But things happen in an instant. And without the right gear, you can be in some serious trouble out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian, what I'll do is I'll pop those links on our website, so if people want to link straight through, they can from this episode of Trail Talk SA. It's been awesome chatting. Congratulations once again this weekend. I know it's probably disappointing for you guys too, having to make that call, but I think you did make the right call at the right time, so well done.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
We'll be chatting this week extensively about what happened at this past weekend's Sky Run, and I wanted to get to the take of a couple of athletes as well, and got one of them on the line, Andrew Mackay. Andrew, welcome onto Trail Talk SA. Thanks for taking the time to chat to us today.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. Thanks for finding.
Andrew, I just wanted to touch base with you. I spoke to Adrian Safi about the race being called off midway because of the weather conditions. From an athlete's perspective, you had signed up to do the 100K. Tell me your experience of the race. I mean, waking up, seeing what the conditions were like, and you know what, we all do trail, and we know that the sort of weather can change, but this one was quite hectic, wasn't it?
Oh, no, this was quite something special, eh? Yeah, the event started off raining, and so, you know, when I started, I was prepared. The rain was pouring down, and cleared up a little bit as we were going up to checkpoint one. But from after that, yeah, it goes a little bit hazier. Sort of almost like I was in a movie for most of the day. Just yeah, it was just a extremely strong wind and hail and the mist. So yeah, I just sort of took it very conservatively. Just sort of didn't try and just ran. I was actually planning on running very slow. I just took my time and, you know, just ran pretty conservatively just to conserve energy and just try and keep your wits about you.
It must be weird to be in that situation where you know this is, like, not the norm, that it's quite hectic out here. And that's one of the reasons why we do these sort of races, is because we want to be challenged physically and mentally. But when did you start thinking, hang on a sec, this is getting just way out of hand?
Yeah, I wasn't, I would say there was like one very intense portion of the race where you have to go down on a very sort of narrow ledge, and the wind was extremely strong in that place, and there's basically a fence running down the middle, and you had to, ideally you wanted to be on the wind side of the fence, because then at least you've got the fence to stop you, but at one section you had to cross the fence and be on the other side. So you've got the wind pushing you with a, you know, sheer drop below you, and that was intense. It was a very short period. It was one foreigner in front of me who sort of froze, and that's when I knew it was pretty serious, because I had to, you know, sort of help him through and just keep chatting to him. But you could hardly speak to the guy. You were basically screaming, you know, we were nose to nose. And anyway, he got down. And then I made my way down, and that was the most hectic period where, you know, it was very misty, extremely strong wind, and, you know, going on to the other side of the fence, you basically had to hold on to those strands of wire. Wow. Because, yeah, if you slipped. In fact, in some, maybe ironically, the mist may have helped, because it was so misty you couldn't actually see the drop. So perhaps mentally that might have helped a lot of people, because I'm just wondering if they actually saw the, you know, how steep the drop was. They may have frozen more.
And was this your first one, or have you done one before?
No, this was my first one. So, yeah, I was quite Yeah, I was looking for, well, I mean, yeah, it was a hell of a run and it was my first one, so I didn't really know how to gauge it. But as I say, I ran very conservatively. And that definitely helped me.
Gee, it sounds amazing. I mean, and chatting to Adrian, he was saying to us as well just how difficult it was from an organizer's perspective to make that call, because obviously all the athletes have trained really hard for this thing. They've worked for months. They've planned. And there comes a time when you start going, you know what, we need to take the athlete's sort of safety into account and we need to call it quits. And from an athlete's point of view, I mean, when you found out that they had called the thing off, I mean, how did you feel at the top there where they went, you know what, that's it, we've got to get you down off the mountain?
Yeah, I mean, no, it's, I actually only found out about it when I got to Ballock at 65Ks. I came in, so I had my first initial response was a huge disappointment because I'd run conservatively and mentally I'd geared myself up for the final section. But after that first initial period of disappointment, once I started listening to the other people's experiences and, you know, that then sort of common sense kicked in and I realized, no, it was the right call. So yeah, I mean, my first couple of minutes afterwards, I was gutted, but no, it was the right call. And, in a race like that, you almost have to, I don't know if it's the right term, but you've got to look at the weakest link. You've got to almost, the run is sort of, the event is around the weakest runners. And if those guys are really battling, you know, their safety comes first. And it was the right call.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, I said it to Adrian as well. It's such a difficult and such a fine line to walk as well. I mean, you obviously want to keep the guys out there because that's why they've signed up, is because it's tough and it's going to be hard. But it's such a fine line to walk because you don't want to push the boundary so far. All of a sudden you lose a runner and then it's too late. So it's a difficult one. But I think they probably did the right thing. And everyone that I've spoken to saying they handled it really, really well.
Yeah, no, it's a hell of a tough call. And you're 100% right. I mean, everyone trained hard, you know, you're mentally geared up for it, but yeah, they are ultimately responsible and, you know, they've got to make the call as they see fit. And yeah, it was, you know, as Steffi said, it is what it is. And that's sometimes in trail running, I think you just got to go with the flow and what presents itself is, it is what it is.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
what happened on the day.
Absolutely. Andrew, taking it, you're going to go back?
Definitely, yeah. No, I'm going to go back. I'm going to, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a beautiful part of the country. It's a beautiful section of mountains. You know, I'm sort of familiar more with the traditional Drakensberg, the Underberg area. And for me, it was something new just to see such an incredible place. And the Eastern Cape is, and Lesotho are just incredible people. Really, really good part of the country. So I'm going to go back there 100% and hopefully take my wife and daughter and we can make a long weekend of it. So, no, I got no regrets. I really enjoyed it.
Superb. Andrew McKay, thank you so much for chatting to us today. Yeah, hard lines that it's got called off, but well done on making it that far and as by the sounds of it, as comfortable as you did.
Yeah, no, I mean, actually, you know, I'm sounding like, you know, trail running's weird. I mean, I could have had a disastrous race. I mean, also a lot comes down to a bit of luck, you know. So sometimes you have a good run and sometimes you don't. So, yeah, no, it was a hell of a day, and I'm really looking forward to next year.
Well, we've chatted extensively about it this week on Trail Talk SA. The Salomon Sky Run that was held last weekend, and the conditions were, by all accounts, manic. And got another one of the athletes who was running this past weekend, Natalie Romeo. Welcome onto the show. Thanks for taking the time to catch up.
Thank you.
Natalie, tell me a little bit about your experience. You did the light last year, went back to do the big one this year, and yeah, as we all know, conditions not conducive, and the organisers had to make a tough call.
Yeah, I know. The light was a joke last year compared to what we went through this year. Conditions weren't ideal from the word go. I mean, the rainstorms were just insane from about 1 in the morning. But by no means was the race going to get called off, I must say. So, yeah, with all our checklists on us, off we went, and it was okay for the first 2 hours. I think it was about after like 2 or 3 hours, once we hit the top of the mountain, those gale force winds just hit us. But we pushed on, eh? It was cool. It was pretty cool.
I mean, Natalie, when the race was called up, called off, you were fourth overall. So, I mean, as far as your performance goes, I mean, you must have been pretty chuffed overall for what you did, but you must have been pretty disappointed when you got to the checkpoint and found out that it was time to get off the mountain.
Honestly, no, not at all. I'm kind of relieved. It was freezing. I think I'd pretty much made a call already at Avoca thinking, yeah, I don't think I'm actually going to carry on with this. It was just the cold. I was very worried about the cold. But that's just me as well. I don't do very well in the cold. I just freeze up and my fingers like suffer a lot. And the brain was shutting down a little bit. Eh? We were getting a bit stupid out there on the mountain. So I had to think about it. I thought they might actually take us over the wall at least and then perhaps finish us off at the wall trail. But no, it was just too hectic with Hilton and both Ian getting pulled off with hypothermia. I was actually kind of relieved. I was scared going into the night and into that cold.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to get any better.
I mean, that's the tough call. I mean, it's one of those things, and as ultra runners, you know what, you do these things because they're tough. That's one of the reasons why you do this, and you want to challenge yourself and see how far you can push your body and mind. But there comes a time on the trails where you go, you know what, this is actually starting to get stupid. When did you realize, you know what, this is starting to get a bit out of hand?
Absolutely. And that's where I was. I was thinking, well, it's just not fun right now. And I mean, I don't do it for competition. I do it really just for fun, for the beauty of it. And it was awesome for the 12 hours we were out there. But at some point, I thought, this just isn't fun anymore. And I've got to make a sober decision, an intelligent decision. And I don't have anything to prove, so we'll go back next year.
Yeah, that's the funny thing with runners. I mean, you know what it's like. I mean, you end up, it's even like running with an injury where you go, you know what, it's sore, but you know what, it's okay, we're going to push through. And there comes a time where you have to draw the line and go, you know what, this is seriously dangerous and I could do sort of long-term damage to myself. And the truth of the matter is, I mean, someone could have died on that mountain last weekend. And it's a tough call to have to make as a race organizer, but you know what, sometimes these things have to be taken out of the runner's hands, because you were saying, you know what, you had enough, but there were guys and girls out on the mountain that would have pushed on if they were allowed to, and it could have ended up fatal.
No, it's definitely the right decision from the race organizer's point of view. There were just too many people that I don't think were prepared for the situation. They didn't have the right tips on them. Like I said, their brains were all shutting down. I had a good friend running with me who just completely forgot how to tie her shoelaces. I mean, that just doesn't happen, you know, and she's an experienced runner. So definitely the best call, and going into that the night. I mean, if temperatures were -6 at noon, I mean, what the hell was going to happen at night time? I just couldn't imagine the temperatures dropping even more. It'd just be unbearable.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, you spoke about doing the light last year. How did you sort of prepare yourself to make the step up from the light to the full one this year?
Oh, that's completely psychological. It's not physical. This is not a trail run. It's not a mountain run, and it's certainly not a physical run. I find it very, very psychological to go into the night. I mean, I'm not a fast runner, so obviously I'm going to be out there for a good 21, 24 hours, and to go into the night, especially facing some time alone. It was more psychological for me than physical. So I spent a lot more time. I actually started doing some meditation, of all things, just to try and push myself through some barriers psychologically.
It's amazing you say that, because yeah, I mean, in my experience as well, it is a mental thing. It's more about the 6 inches between your ears than the extra 30-40 k's that you're going to have to do on the day.
Absolutely. And then if you think about it specifically on the Sky Run, it's about 60 k's to go, like it's not 65, and you've got about another 43 or 45 thereafter. And if you look at past results, I mean, even from last year, the guys are doing the second leg. The second leg I'm talking about from Belloch, obviously, to the War Trail. They're doing the second leg in about, you know, 85% of the time of the first. And you just think to yourself, but how can that be? It's only 43 Ks. Why is it taking even the most experienced runners, you know, between 8 and 10 hours, for example? It just messes with your mind. So, and that's through the night. And you look at the average pace from last year, not pace, average speed from last year. And someone like Langi Kralin was doing, I think, about, I don't want to lie, I don't know the exact figures, but I think it's approximately 4 Ks an hour. And you think to myself, geez, but she's like, you know, she's brilliant, she's fast, she's a pro, and how can we be moving that slowly? And when you're out there, you realize, I mean, you just watch these kilometers tick by so slowly, and you just, the time flies by, it's just unbelievable. You look at your watch, it's 1 hour, and then next thing it's 6 hours later, and you think, like, where did the time go?
Yeah. Natalie, I mean, you must have, like, thinking about it now, you must be disappointed that you didn't get to complete the whole thing. Are you going back in 2014?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love it. Absolutely love it. And between now and then, I mean, what's next on the cards for you? Did you have anything sort of on the radar, or was this going to be your big one and then you'll take whatever comes after that?
I've entered the Wild Coast Ultra for next year, February. And, yeah, I'm hoping to do maybe one or two international events next year.
Okay.
But otherwise, I haven't even thought about it. If I could, I would have something lined up every month.
you're that addicted?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Anything that keeps me sane coming from Joburg.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, a lot of guys and girls, like in the Western Cape, and we chat to lots of them, and they talk about how awesome the trails are down there. You're Joburg-based. I mean, where's your favorite places to run up in Gauteng?
Sure. Thinking about it now. I actually thoroughly enjoy it. We aren't just spoiled for the guys down there. It's just, they are so, so blessed with the trail. It's unbelievable. Unfortunately, I just can't move my career down there. But, up here, I love running Hennop. I think it's quite pretty. And also, underutilized. But not a lot of people are running there. It's lovely. I like King's Cliff. I can't think of anyone's right now. Yeah.
Right, cool.
And obviously, I try and do as many races as possible. So all of the smaller races in and around Joburg and Pretoria, then I just try and do those on the weekends. Otherwise, you just don't pick up enough trail.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I mean, even living in Joburg or Pretoria, there are lots of places. You just need to find them. And I think we probably need to look at a few more here on the show as well, just to get word out there that there are places in and around Joburg that are cool to run.
Absolutely. But I mean, I also travel a hell of a lot. So, for example, I go to the races. I don't wait for them to come to me. So, in October, I went off to do the Hobbit. In September, I went to do the Skyrun training camp. Then I went to the Wild Run. November, I went back to Lady Grey to do the Skyrun. So, I go to the races. I'm going to find them. Hey, I just did Three Peaks in Cape Town 2 weeks ago, which was unbelievable. I highly recommend that for everyone. So, yeah, you go find the races.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Natalie, it's been awesome catching up. Congrats on your fourth last week. And Hotlines, I've not been able to finish the thing off, but look forward to hearing how 2014 goes.
Brilliant.
It sounds like it was an epic, epic weekend, the Skyrun 2013. Let's hope it's the conditions are slightly better in 2014. But by all accounts, very, very well handled. Tough situation to have to be in. But yeah, well done to the organizers once again in handling it as well as they did. Everyone getting off the mountain in one piece, which is great news. Something else that's great news, I'm just putting it out there. It's something that I'm doing through one of the other podcasts that I run, Run Talk SA. And you may or may not know my sort of journey into trail running. In 2009, I weighed 165 kgs. And I made the decision that I wanted to run Comrades. I set the goal. I lost 50 kgs. And in 2011, I finished my first one. That's the very abridged version. But I get tons of emails every single week from people asking me how I did it and how did I get started and avoid injury and all of that sort of thing. So what I've decided to do is put a webinar together to talk people through exactly what I did and how I did it, okay? So if you know someone, and we all got a mate who would love to start running, but they always, it's an excuse and they can't do this and they can't do that, but they'd love to do it and they don't know where to start, this webinar is exactly for them. So if you think of someone, and we all have one, let's be honest, we all have a mate who would love to start running but not quite sure where to start, please send them the details for this. What I'll do is I'll pop the link up in the show notes for this episode of Trail Talk SA. All you need to do is go to trailtalksa.co.za/16, and then the link is there. Just forward that link on, if you wouldn't mind, to people you know. Perhaps you want to start running, I don't know. And then check out the webinar. It's happening next week, Tuesday, the 26th of November at 7 p.m. And yeah, it'll be 20 minutes, real quick one. I'll talk a bit about my journey, how I got started, and then yeah, some really, really good actionable tips on how someone else can get going in running and avoid injury when they first start. So looking forward to maybe sharing a bit of inspiration. And if you could help me spread the word on that, I'd really appreciate it too. So that's about it for this week. If you want to tweet us, as always, it is at TrailTalkSA. You can pop us an email, podcast@trailtalksa.co.za, or like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TrailTalkSA. From myself, Brad Brown, until next week, have yourself a good one, and we'll chat soon. Cheers.